Last week, we brought you cash value life insurance for kids. It was a great topic. Be sure to check out that episode. This week, we're talking whole life versus IUL. How do we as advisors position these products? And how do we help you navigate the choice between whether you go whole life or IUL? That's what we're talking about today in the Life Insurance Financial Education Podcast, where we're pulling back the curtain on high cash value life insurance and how it can help you build wealth and achieve your financial goals. I'm your host, James Barber, your Oregon Cash Flow Pro.
And my name is Carlo Vaquera with Net Wealth Finance.
Carlo, whole life, the thing people love about it is the guarantees. And generally, we get a lot of complaints as far as what the risk offers in IUL. But why do people like the IULs? This is what we're going to discuss today, that growth potential in the IULs. So let's kick us off. What is it about whole life and the guarantees that really draws people to that product?
I think one of the things that most people will say is that whole life does have both a guaranteed rate of return and a guaranteed cost of insurance for that base policy. So those are two huge guarantees that can actually vary by product. And they're really beneficial to people who want to have fixed costs in their life insurance, and also some element of at least a guarantee in growth. Now, most people would not be happy with that rate, and I think we'll get more into that, but it is a guaranteed rate that is higher than you will see in an IUL.
And you get that guaranteed death benefit to go along with it. So the biggest thing with whole life, we get guaranteed growth. Those guarantees can vary, and they've gotten lower in recent years, but it's still a good guarantee. At the end of the day, you don't have to worry about it. And you know, if you keep funding it at whatever level it's set up at, it's guaranteed to be successful, right? And there's a lot of peace of mind that people get from that guarantee, even if they might be giving up some potential growth.
It's good that you called out that guaranteed death benefit. It's also a product of that growth rate. So your cash value and your death benefit will, in effect, guarantee to equal each other at the end of the policy or policy maturity. So whole life, super solid on the guaranteed front. And I think that's probably one of the main reasons why people leaned in with this infinite banking concept into whole life in general.
So we'll get into how we differentiate the products and help people navigate the choice of one of those two. But let's first talk about the IUL and what attracts people to the IUL. It's that growth potential, right?
With an IUL, there is a slightly higher growth potential, and I think that's the biggest appeal for most people. The difference is not huge when you're talking about percentage points, but in the long term, 1, 2, 3 percentage points of internal rate of return over 30 years can be a massive difference in cash value. While it's not guaranteed that that's going to happen, there is that potential to have significantly higher cash value in the long term if given enough time.
So because the growth in an IUL is tied to growth in some type of an index in the stock market, theoretically, the growth potential compared to whole life is massive. The difference could be really, really big. But I think reality-wise, what we see actually happen is it's a pretty small difference between the two. You mentioned 1, 2, maybe 3%. I think that's kind of what we may expect over 30, 40 years, which that could be very significant, but it's not a massive difference.
Yes. And where you might see a massive difference is in a single year. So in a single year in an IUL, I've had in some of my indexing strategies, double digit returns. And that's a very reasonable expectation for that to happen sometimes. But you can also have some 0 years. It's almost impossible to not have some indexing strategies hit a 0 year. And so that is something that will happen when the market is going down. You will have what will be a down year in the market would become a zero, or that's where the next thing, there is a guarantee and some products have a floor that is above zero. So you might have a 1% guarantee and in one of our favorite products. And that's pretty nice, actually, for an IUL to have that 1% guarantee.
So let's quickly talk guarantees. The whole life products have to have a guarantee that's between 2 and 3.75%. Most of them, I think, tend to fall in the 3% range. But there are an outlying few at the top range, 3.75, and then you've got some at the bottom range at the 2%. Generally, the lower the guarantee, the greater the growth potential inside that particular product. So I don't necessarily look at the growth guarantee as needing to be higher in order to be a preferable product. It's really not the determining factor. Let's put it that way. And then we've got in the IUL, 0%. Every single IUL has a 0% floor because you're not actually invested in the stock market. So you don't lose money if the market's down. But then some products do offer bonuses that are guaranteed, and you could see at least a 1% guarantee growth.
Yes, and that's the thing. It is a choice to allocate to that type of strategy, and you don't have to. So that is something that you can have access to, and maybe people, if they want an IUL but do want to have the highest guarantees possible, well, I guess it might not be the highest, and there is the fixed account, which is not guaranteed over the life of the policy, but you can get sort of a guaranteed return in a given year when they set that for a year in an IUL. But within an indexing strategy, a 1% guarantee, it's a pretty nice thing because you could still have a bigger return than that, and that 1% might be additional.
So as an agent, how do you position this product? What helps you decide when you're talking with a client whether to navigate toward the greater guarantees or the greater growth potential?
I think the main thing that I want to know is, what is their current asset portfolio looking like? What's the risk profile? And are they in, you know, moonshot securities positions that, you know, are very, very low guarantees there? So that's one thing. Understanding that can help determine what the risk profile is for an individual. And even if they are already in high risk things, maybe they just still want to have that slightly higher risk, higher reward potential with an IUL. But understanding what their position is in current state is what helps me to say, well, this is where an IUL would fit, and this is where a whole life product would fit.
Yeah, it's really important to get an understanding of your client. You want to understand their risk profile. What is their risk tolerance? Their current makeup of investments? How risky are they? And do they want to add to that risk, or are they looking to reduce that risk considerably and go with a much higher guaranteed product like whole life? I end up with clients that run the gamut. So I've got some that they're taking risks in business, they're taking risks in the market, and it's a perfect complement to bring in a whole life policy that offers a really solid guarantee, like you like to have in your portfolio, where you're basically taking over the bond part of a portfolio, where you get that nice, good, guaranteed growth. It's not going to be otherworldly. You're not getting double-digit returns off of this thing, but it's just solid year after year, and you can count on it, and you don't ever have to think about it. And then you've got your IUL clients who are comfortable taking more risk. It may even be that they're de-risking from their other investments into something that still carries a little bit of risk, but they're comfortable with that. Like, that matches really well with their risk profile, that they would like to, and maybe they have the time to go for that extra 1, 2, 3% return over the next 30, 40, 50 years and see that massive difference in potential gains.
Yes, that's the thing. And I've mentioned in the past that whole life does sort of meet that bond instrument in my own portfolio. It's meets that need that it might be filled with that. But there's a lot of people who are probably my age and a bit younger who just have no place for that sort of thing in their portfolio. So they might already be all equities in their portfolio, but they still want to go with an IUL. I think our main thing is to just understand what the person's position is and what it is they want to do. And sometimes, even if they're already in relatively risky securities, they still might want to do an IUL, which in the end, it is still a hedge for anything that's directly market. So an IUL is a pretty secure asset, even if it is a little bit less secure than a whole life product.
So we've talked about the guarantees and the growth potential, but we didn't put it in stark terms. So let's lay it out. Essentially, what we expect from a good whole life product that's well-designed is a long-term internal rate of return of, let's say, between 4 and 6%. In a low interest rate environment, you're going to be closer to that 4%. In a high interest rate environment with a good product, you can end up closer to that 6%. There could be some years that we end up pushing past that as well. But I think in today's environment and probably for the last 20, 30 years, 4 to 6% is a good expectation for whole life. In the IUL side, that conservative expectation puts you in somewhere between 5 and 7%. Now, you get to choose your options in there, and people can really screw that thing up. You could end up bouncing around from bad index to bad index, completely missing growth. So it's really hard to say exactly what you're going to get or have a really good guess or even offer any type of a guarantee up near any of those numbers. You just don't know because there is a lot more control for the client with regard to what they can do inside of those products. But in general, if they manage it well, it's a good product. We get a good design. I think 5 to 7% is realistic. So we're talking 4 to 6% versus 5 to 7, which is not a big difference. But if they both top out, you get the 6% and you get the 7% over 30, 40 years, that's a 1% difference, which can be pretty significant. On the flip side, you could end up with 6% whole life and somebody that's down into 5% in an IUL, in which case maybe they're kicking themselves for going with the IUL. But reality is, that's not that much difference between 5 and 6%. And then flipped the other way, you could go 4%, closer to the 4% on the whole life, and then up at 7% on the IUL. And that's where we're talking that 3% growth difference potential. And that could be pretty significant.
Yes, that growth potential, and when you speak in those numbers, it doesn't sound like huge numbers. You know, at the top end, 3% difference on average over a long period of time. But if you look at any compound interest calculator, if you get 3% difference over a 30-year period, it's going to be a massive difference in cash value. So that's just a thing to keep in mind, is that that is a big difference in the grand scheme when we're talking about compound interest over time. And one of our favorite products, I remember seeing in the documentation somewhere, the actual historical crediting was somewhere in that range of 6 to 7%. And that is, over the history, factoring in those people who screwed up their IULs and did all the things wrong and had, you know, moved at the wrong times and all of that. That's factored in, and that was the crediting rates over a period of time. So it is reasonable that we can expect something like that. But again, that's not guaranteed on the IUL side. And actually, even that crediting rate on the whole life side, I think Jim's mentioned the actual guarantees. Well, the rates that he was talking were higher than those guarantees. So we reasonably expect the rates to be higher on whole life. And it is one of the most secure returns to get somewhere in that 4 to 6% range within whole life.
So we've kind of touched on risk profile for a client as helping to decide whether they're going whole life or IUL. Once we kind of narrow that down, having discussions with clients, that's when I like to pick a particular product. And then let's look at the illustrations on those. I don't really like to compare the illustrations between IUL and whole life together because the IUL illustrations are always going to look better. But if somebody's risk profile really shouts whole life as being the better choice for them, I don't want them looking at big numbers that an IUL is going to show. Because it's really hard to forget those numbers. Like, people tend to see those numbers and think, oh, that's what I'm going to get for sure. And it becomes a challenge at that point, I think.
And that's one of the reasons why we prefer not to illustrate at the max illustratable rates in an IUL as well. We illustrate conservatively, or we tend to want to do that. That is something to consider, but in the end, it still will illustrate a bit better. If it makes more sense for them to see a whole life product, then that might be where we want to start.
Let's kind of summarize where we position each of these products. We've got whole life. You've got high values on those guarantees. It's predictable. Costs are predictable. The growth is predictable. The death benefit is predictable. Everything is in a nice, neat package. As long as you fund it, it's guaranteed to work. It can't fail. And so for people that are really looking at safety and not necessarily the highest return on their money, a whole life product can be amazing, not even getting into the infinite banking type of uses for these products, because there could certainly be other uses once we start generating cash value. But for today's discussion, we're just comparing the growth on these two things, and really shines when it comes to those guarantees and the predictability.
And with an IUL, the place where it really shines is that long-term growth potential, where you can use an indexing strategy that over the life of the policy could return and get you that 5 to 7% over the life of that policy, and have that slightly higher, you know, 1, 2, 3% higher internal rate of return over the long term. That's really where an IUL shines. It might not have as good guarantees in the product itself, but there are ways to have some guarantees, like indexing strategies that have guaranteed bonuses. So an IUL can be a very solid asset that is slightly less, or it has less guarantees than whole life, but in the grand scheme of things, it is still a pretty secure asset.
I think we covered the guarantees versus growth pretty good today. What would you say is a good call to action for the listeners this week?
It's time for this week's call to action.
I think one of the best things that people can do in order to set up for a conversation with one of us or another agent is really try to assess what their risk profile is, what types of assets they might want to be adding to their portfolio over the next few years. If you can answer those questions for yourself, it can really set you up for success for a meeting with one of us.
Those are some great points. Call to action, I would say, in line with that, is even more narrowly, look at where your risk is right now, and can you benefit from de-risking some of that in a really good product? And obviously, it's going to take some discussions with a professional that can help you to identify which product might end up being best. But having a chat with one of us is one way to get there. On your own, take a look at that risk that your current investment portfolio represents, and think about how having a safer place to put some portion of your monies may complement that really well. Be sure to join us next week. We're going to dive into IULs specifically. We're going to talk taxes, loans, and the flexibility within those types of products. Signing off for this week, I'm your Oregon cash flow pro, James Barber. I'm licensed for life insurance and annuities across the country.
And my name is Carl Vaquera with NetWealth Finance. We also work with clients across the country. You can find me at netwealthfinance.com or on YouTube at NetWealth Finance.
See you next time.
Thanks for tuning in.